Hey, Steve, when you go to conventions, what do you go for?
Hardcore gaming.
Pretty much, right?
Absolutely.
So, when you see a convention coming up in the Chicagoland area, like Dragonfall, what are you going there to do?
I'm going there to play some games.
And that's right. So, for those who are interested, Dragonfall is a two-day gaming convention, October 15th and 16th at Pheasant Run in St. Charles. This is the second year. They are having two-day 40K championships with the ITC format at 1850 points. They're also going to have a two-day event for Kings of War, one of your favorite games.
Nice.
And they're also having a two-day X-Wing event and a lot of single-day events, including Infinity, Bolt Action, Ninth Age using the Ninth Age scenarios, Arena Rex, which is...
Arena Rex!
I was going to say a game that we both love.
That's a good one.
X-Wing, X-Wing Hangar Bay, and X-Wing Trench Run, which was at the Bolt Action Room in Adepticon, if you saw it, which was a neat-looking table. If you guys are interested, you go to www.dragonfall.com. That's dragon-fall.com, where you have all your information needs.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
That stuff, and that they would, yeah, G.I. Joe, Transformers. Just be careful with that mic stand. It's falling. It's a little loose. So, oh, there you go.
But any which way but loose.
Yeah. But as I was saying, yeah, they do.
You, me, Clint Eastwood, and a monkey.
Yeah. They don't have that, like, Sunbow doesn't, like, just, oh, well, WGN's going to take all the Sunbow shows and show them in the morning, or Fox or whatever have you. Now it's these people create these cartoons.
Kids WB.
Yeah, Kids WB. They, like, package it, and then they sell it to, like, online places. So, like, Netflix, Amazon, right. Hulu, they all have these cartoons that you don't see anywhere else. You'll only see on them, aside from the stuff that you see on cable and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there's just a ton of it. And the majority of it's crap, like when we were kids.
Right.
Like, no one needs to watch the Kid and Play cartoon anymore, you know? Or
the MC Hammer cartoon.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say, Hammer,
yeah,
Hammer
Magic
Man.
Paints.
Hammer
that
Man.
That was actually an autobiography, though.
Oh, it's true. God. Oh, what an... shrill and trite decade we grew up in.
Yeah, but, for the most part.
Yeah, but she was watching.
But hey, you got to do something, right? Yeah, we didn't have smartphones.
No. Well, now my daughter just uses smartphones to watch these awful cartoons, which is what we would do.
The circle is complete.
Yeah. I mean, let's not pretend like we're anything special. If we had smartphones when we were kids, we'd be watching G.I. Joe on the smartphone.
I probably would never not be playing video games. That's probably.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
But yeah.
Yeah. Except that the cell phones would be powered by like 16 AAA batteries.
And there'd be a cassette tape for some reason.
Everything's on tape. But she's watching this Equestria Girls, and they like started off, and it's like, it's literally that kind of like folky acoustic music. And I'm just like, oh my God, what is this? This is My Little Pony and Sons? I can't handle this.
Is it?
Oh, it was terrible.
Was it actually Mumford and Sons?
No, it wasn't actually.
Oh, okay.
No, the problem is too, and this is the funny thing. My wife, God bless her soul, she was we were before we had kids. She's just like, no, I don't think I could ever listen like that Radio Disney in the car. No, she's gonna listen to my music and blah blah blah. Every time I get in her
Radio
goddamn,
Disney,
well, she doesn't. It's not Radio Disney anymore. She just uses her phone, but it's all like little like My Little Pony music or Disney songs. And I'm like, Diana, you know better than this. And she's like, I know, but it just makes her happy. And I'm just like, she's in my car. She listens to the Rolling Stones.
But let's get... No, I mean, that's just cruel and unusual.
Oh, Rolling Stones are great. The Stones and classic rock of the 70s and 80s. And Joe Canna.
Let's get down to business.
to
defeat the Huns.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, like, I'll put that on. But she doesn't really care half the time. She's on her damn iPad
watching My Little Pony Equestria Girls.
No, she's playing whatever game is on there or something like that. She loves that stuff. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it doesn't really matter in the long run. I'm just like, if I'm driving, I'm listening to my music. You're not listening to your music. I don't need to do that. Very rarely will I ever do that. Yeah. But anyway, hey guys, welcome to Game Classy. I forgot what podcast
when
I was doing.
When I was driving a lot, usually that was when I listened to podcasts. I don't listen to podcasts anymore.
I know. Well, I still listen to podcasts and audiobooks, but I don't generally do it if there's someone else in the car.
I guess it's a lie. I listen to Goosebuds and Tales from the Tavern, yeah. Those are some good ones.
One day we'll do our D&D podcast.
What, just...
with Star Trek.
Oh yeah, no, we have to like make it really bad. just
so
awful.
So we have
like,
to make
stop and do like rules checks and like break character to like do rules checks.
So you mean
ruin the theme?
You mean every D&D podcast out there where they're playing through is what you're saying? We have to just recreate what everyone else does.
I've never listened to one because it sounds miserable.
Oh, it pretty is. It pretty much is.
But there, I can't. There are so many. I have to imagine that there are. There's at least more than one that has an edited presentation and is just action, which
do.
Is probably good.
Like the best one is HarmonQuest online that you if you watch it on CISO, but no one's paying for CISO, so screw that.
Right.
But they do that. They really edit it down to like just the funny parts.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, and there's probably a couple amateur podcasts out there doing that.
Yeah.
But like if you're doing an actual play and you're leaving and unless it's for a new game, I think I would encourage having the rules discussions come up for a new game. But if you're doing like a D&D 5th edition and there is a 20-minute discussion about a rule in your podcast, you should probably delete that.
Unless it's funny, unless you like it's
legit.
Yeah,
if it's a humorous story.
Yeah.
Like someone getting really mad about it.
That's not how it goes.
Yeah, that's I guess there is a certain appeal. You have to, you know, pick and choose because if someone's getting legitimately angry about it, then you should definitely leave that in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the most of them are just the thing is they don't know how to cut out like the not interesting stuff.
The dross, if you will.
Like the dross.
You got to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah. Exactly. It's mostly like, all right, now your adventures are on a path through a forest. All right.
Nice.
So,
are there any elves there? I want to do them.
See, that would be funny. But most of the time is that
there's an elf there.
I do a perception check to see if there's anything in the forest. At least 300 meters ahead.
When someone asks those kind of questions, if I'm running a game, I go like, there are birds and animals in the forest.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, no role necessary.
And then they go like, you travel another 100 meters. I'd like to do another perception check to see the next 100 meters.
I do. There's no... So all of those like... That's actually a good thing. If you're running a game, this is my DM tip. Random DM tip for you.
DM tip.
All of those... active skills, like the ones that you have to like trigger, like to turn on, you have to be
triggered!
Like, you have to be like, I'm going to use this, you know, a choice.
I just got this idea of you playing as a warrior, but a social justice warrior.
I would not be able to kill anything. I just talk about like the plight of like the goblin.
The plight like, of the goblin.
You're like, no, these goblins are clearly, they're fine.
But, that would be really funny. It's like as a character, you're not necessarily
not
call
these,
it.
You're not giving these goblins a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that's not the same thing.
Be that guy in the game and see how that plays out.
I mean, you would just be murdered very quickly because you wouldn't be fighting. You're a murder hobo. Like, but anyway.
Oh, murder hobos.
That notwithstanding, the idea of those skills is like something that. What you said, like that's an actual problem where people are constantly like, "Oh, I want to do this thing over and over, and like I want to search." If they're making roles like that, just change it. Like stealth is a good example. I hate making people or when people want to roll their stealth like in advance, and like I'm gonna do a stealth check because that completely removes any doubt. Like they know, like if they roll a three, they're like, "Fuck." Like I'm not stealth, so like it completely like removes the role playing concept from that moment.
Yeah.
Because if you are like in stealth, you don't magically know that you're stealthing real good or bad. You know, you just like you assume a position in the shadows and you try and move silently. You know, whatever. So what I do for that specific instance and any of these skills is when the situation occurs, you have to make the roll.
Yeah.
So like if you're a rogue. I just assume that you're fucking sneaky because you're a rogue. So when a guard walks around the corner, I say, make a move silently check to see if you avoid the notice of this guard. And then they go, oh, I rolled a 5. And it's like, well, what's your modifier? And it's like, oh, okay, yeah. He doesn't see you. And that's the way to do it.
Well, I think that's getting back to Harmontown. That's kind of what Spencer does.
He makes all the rolls.
He makes the roll behind the thing.
That's something I want to do. I want to do a game where I make all the rolls.
I think that'd be great. And because that frees you up to do a lot more role playing.
Yeah. And I mean, I'd probably do the role. I wouldn't do the rolls behind the screen. I'm a big believer in rolls out front. because
well, you think about it though.
I don't like fudging.
But like, if you
Harmon quest makes sense.
Yeah, but if you
because they can't have a TPK.
If you have a rogue, if say you roll behind the screen, and you say you believe you are in stealth, and then it's like, and then all of a sudden like the guard detects you, and it's like. Then you could, the person will act as if they are in stealth, just like your character would.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, you are not in stealth. You fudged it. You fudged it bad.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of the cons. I think it would just be faster, and it would be great for people who are less familiar with the game.
Yeah.
And they'd be able to play at a higher level than they could if they're trying. Because a lot of people, when they're newer to role playing and stuff like that, they get gamed about it, you know, and they zone in on their character sheet, and their character sheet is a restrictive piece of paper rather than a.
That's the way I kind of like playing it, I let my guys roll for specific things, you know, like if they're attacking something, I let them roll. But most of the time, I just roll behind the screen because it's a little bit, because they know something's up then when I'm rolling behind the screen. And it kind of gives it a little bit more of an art role-playing feel to it. I just like my guys to role-play more.
I like attack rolls out in the open.
Yeah, attack rolls out in the open are fine.
Because then it's like, that's the key. Because you want to, if I'm doing rolls for traps or whatever, that's different. But like, I want attack rolls out in the open because I don't like fudging. And I like the randomness of combat is, I think, a feature. So when you get critted by a goblin and you fucking die, like... That's life.
Like, c'est la vie.
Yeah, you got fucking killed, bro.
You've been critted by a goblin.
Yeah, that goblin just killed the shit out of you. Like, sorry.
Well, it's like...
Although the thing that's funny about criticals is they make less and less sense the grander scale you go.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, the more goblins there are, the more likely they're just going to be able to kill a super powerful character because, like, just by math.
Yeah, swarming attack.
Yeah, they're going to roll
20s.
Well,
I mean, 20s. It's kind of fun, like, when you do, like epic failures are really funny to, like... Mm. I always think of the one where it's like you go to push the orc off the cliff and you roll a one and you gently caress his back
and they make out and they're married.
Yeah, that was that would work out just about fine for me.
That was great. Yeah. You gently caress the orc's back. However, he blushes.
looking at that comic, I have to say that it's the most diverse group of gamers I've ever seen.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it was just very diverse. It was like, it's not a bunch of like overweight white guys sitting in a basement playing. Okay. So that's the way I it was just like the one thing that took me out of that. I'm like, I've never seen a gaming group that diverse.
Game stores.
Yeah,
I've seen diverse groups in game stores. But yeah. the home nerd thing of a bunch of overweight dudes sitting in their basement, that rings true very
there's
frequently.
There's truth in that art.
Yeah, it's that's definitely a thing. Although you know what? Actually, speaking of D&D and random stuff, there's a great documentary on Netflix, The Dwarvenaut. It's about the guy who did Dwarven Forge.
Yeah,
it's great.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's fun. It's so cool and like kind of hardcore. Like I was like, holy shit. I'm not gonna spoil it because it's an interesting story. But he tells a couple stories about the people he used to role play with like back in the day, and like one of the things I was like, Jesus. And like he said the story like so nonchalantly, and I was like, fuck. And he's Korean.
Yeah, I mean, I like Dwarven Forge's stuff. I mean, it's
great.
For me personally, it's like the only people who should really have this are people with a massive gaming room or like people who or game stores should have Dwarven Forge like for people to play with.
Also, if you do things at shows, if you're like a show DM, like that's perfect because for me, I don't need it because I don't do minis. Like, I avoid using minis for RPGs because again, that comes back to the more it becomes a board game. But yeah, if you're doing the structured events like Pathfinder Society or D&D Encounters or whatever they call it now, like yeah, that's obviously
I've kind of come over to your way of doing it with no minis. I do like I'm kind of like still in the middle a little bit. I think for like bigger things, like if you have like a grand thing planned for your gamers and your gamers are cool with it, they're not just going to be like, I'm not going into that sewer. Like, no, you have to go into the sewer, you know, like that sort of thing. Like if you have gamers who play along with you, you could do like a grand kind of board.
That's why it's good for structured game.
Yeah.
Like where you're like, cause you don't have, I'm sure there's some douche who's done it, but when you go to Pathfinder Society, it railroads you. Like it's like you have accepted the because like that always pisses me off too. Like if you're a player who does that, you're a dick.
Oh
like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like the whole point is like you are there to go on an adventure. So like your character is an adventurer and you've been summoned by the king, and the king requests that you go slay a Hydra, and your character's like, I don't want to do that. I want to go fight a phoenix in the mountains of Morn. Like,
yeah,
no, you're fucking here. You're going to fight the Hydra.
Well, and that, yeah, there should be like a little, like D&D should do that. Like at the beginning of a module, they should have like a little thing that the DM should read. It's like, today you have signed up for this very specific
task.
That's
exactly what they do in Pathfinder Society.
Okay.
In the beginning of each Pathfinder Society scenario, they're like, because you like go to the, you're like, you're at the Pathfinder Lodge. You've been given the mission to go capture Strizix, who's an escaped lunatic wizard. You arrive at the Fortress of Doom and deftly work your way in. And then the scenario starts and you're in the first room of the Fortress of Doom.
Well, no, I'm more talking about like, just like a general thing. It's like, you know, you're playing with me as your DM, you have to understand that I have an adventure planned for you.
Oh yeah,
you have to play along and not,
right,
you know, it's kind of like a dance. Like I'm leading the dance, you are following.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's a thing, and like, yeah, minis are they're a two-way street. They're really, there's a,
I'm thinking that today I'm going out to Games Plus for the auction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that the Ghostbusters game is there today. It might not be. I think it might have been yesterday. But if it's there today, I kind of want to pick it up, because if I'm doing my Ghostbuster game, I think it would be kind of fun to have the Ghostbusters minis for it.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, pretty good.
You know, c'est la vie.
Ecto 1. Na 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 na.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Yeah,
I want to get the guy in the wheelchair. Wheels.
Wheels. I don't think they called him Wheels,
I know,
actually.
But I
think his name is like a regular name, like Mike or Paul.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right. Wheels was the Burger King
Kids Club. Man, I remember the Burger King Kids Club. I remember TV. He was the kid of the fucking, like, weird-ass one-goggle thing.
Yeah, after
that
the,
is the 90th thing in the fucking world,
after,
man.
After the fall of the Burger King Kids Club, the only one that remained was the TV kid.
That's right.
Everyone else kind of disappeared. Yeah. Wheels was nowhere to be found.
Wheels was gone.
I can't believe they named the wheelchair kid Wheels.
Wheels.
That's so terrible.
The... Yes, this character has been reduced entirely to his disability.
Okay, wait. I want to just sit on this for just 2 seconds. For our foreign listeners who have no idea, you know, I'm pretty sure you know Burger King. I mean, it's
is Burger King big international? I know McDonald's is.
It is. I mean,
because Burger King's pretty fallen pretty far from the precipice of its former glory.
I know, but anyway,
Wendy's throwing the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Wendy's is like hot on McDonald's tail for burger supremacy.
So our European, there's the burger chain like McDonald's called Burger King in the U.S. And in the 90s, they had this thing for to compete with the Happy Meal. You had the Burger King Kids Club.
BK Kids Club.
The BK Kids Club, where you get like a little box and it have little toys in it, just like the Happy Meal. Wendy's did too. I don't know if Wendy's still does it.
No, Wendy's doesn't do the child meal.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, but they had like this group of diverse children all done in cartoon form, and they were like, once again, like every ethnicity and like gender and everything.
Super stereotype.
Super stereotype, though.
like I believe the Asian even was like tinted yellow. like I was like, damn, that dog.
There was
that racist.
there was an Asian kid named Ching Chong.
Yeah,
there
pretty
was,
much.
Yeah, it was that bad. But anyway, so the thing was is they had a kid in a wheelchair and his name was Wheels, and that's why
his name is
like
fucking
now
Wheels.
Looking back at it, I mean, I'm sure probably even in the day, like my dad was like, that can't be right.
That's always so fucking stupid too. Like anytime they try and do that like forced diversity thing, it always backfires like that, because like, you know, I knew a lot of Asian people growing up in high school. I had, you know, Asian friends and stuff, and their names were Ben, John, Andy, but their last names were like
Chen
Joshinawa you know, Chang,
yeah, something
Asian,
know, yeah.
And it's like, okay, that there you go. Like if you want to add diversity without it being like ridiculous,
yeah,
put
none
Danny
of them
Chang in your fucking group.
Yeah, none of them were named like Yo Jimbo.
Exactly. Like they don't have fucking like the whole point of you know, America is the thing that everyone's forgetting is like America is supposed to be the melting pot.
Yeah.
Everyone is supposed to, you're supposed to take the best parts of all the cultures and mush them together, not keep everyone extremely divided and have like little yellow kid named Chen on your fucking Burger King Kids Club.
Exactly.
And we're a goddamn kid in a wheelchair and fucking wheels.
I mean, like, we just reviewed Blade on Blade 2 on Comic Book Logic.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yes, we mentioned that several times.
Good.
We talked about that quite a bit.
Good. You ever hear Guillermo del Toro just fucking go on and talk about movies? That dude fucking loves movies.
Yeah, he's just got to make more movies. That's his thing. And he got to make movies that aren't like Crimson Peak.
What a disappointment.
Oh, like, incredible. I mean, just,
it looked awesome.
Well, yeah, it was just
the visuals.
It was marketed incredibly poorly.
Yeah.
But we were talking about, what's his name from Venture Brothers? Jefferson Franklin, something like that. Like, it's the Blackula hunter.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like he has
he only hunts Blackulas.
He's got the most racist, like, black name ever. Like, when you think about it, there's and even on Legends of Tomorrow, I don't know if you watched that show.
No.
You should. Have you watched Flash yet, WB?
No.
Really good. But the it's on Netflix. You can watch
Everyone seems to really like Flash.
Yeah.
Like, even more so than the other ones. Everyone seems to be really big Flash.
Flash is the best. It's the best done. Legends of Tomorrow is great if you're a DC fan, because there's a lot of, like, DC wankery in it. Like, you're really, like, oh, I my like God, that. Jonah Hex. Ah,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's
Jonah,
like,
Hex.
That's like Justice League Unlimited. Like,
yeah.
Fucking opens up with goddamn Silver Knight and Vigilante, like, fucking fighting a dragon. Like, that is like DC wank.
It's
great.
It's very DC wank, but it's fun DC wank.
That's good.
But the Supergirl's okay. I like Supergirl. It's grown on me. I think now that it's on WB, it should be a little
better.
Or CW, it should be a little
bit
better.
It's the WB. Yeah. They can say it's CW all they want. Yeah. It's that fucking frog.
But yeah, Supergirl should probably get better in its second season. And Arrow is just god awful.
Right.
It started off really strong. I really liked the first two seasons, and then it just
passed its prime.
It just went. Which is really sad, because I love the guy that plays Oliver Queen. He's really fun, and he's, like, great with the fans too. And I'm just like, oh, you're just stuck on a terrible.
He was feuding
show.
with a pro wrestler, and he showed up on WWE and actually wrestled. It was great.
He was feuding with quotation marks.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, Stephen Amell, that's his name.
That's the
he was Casey Jones in the Turtles movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't do it as much as they used to, but they used to have all sorts of, like, when it was WWF.
You mean, like, having Donald Trump come into the ring?
He was. He got fucking wrecked. That happened. He got fucking slammed by Stone Cold Steve. Stone Cold Steve Austin gave him a Stone Cold Stunner.
Oh.
That happened. Like, that happened. Donald Trump was Stone Cold Stunnered by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Let me
get a hell yeah.
If you could be given a special move by any wrestler, what special move would it be?
If I could take a special move from a wrestler?
No. If someone did that to you, like if you said, like...
Like, someone's gonna slam me.
Yeah, okay. Or something like that. Would it be, like, the people's elbow? Would you... I think me personally, I'd like to get diamond cuttered.
Nice.
Diamond cutted. Get the diamond cutter.
I think.
Just because I would say I got the diamond cutter from Diamond Dallas.
I think
Page.
I would like to get, I think I'd like to get choke slammed by Andre the Giant.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
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 That would be pretty. I also think the people's elbow would be pretty fun, because it's the most.
Yeah, it's the Rock. It's the most electrifying move in all of sports entertainment.
It's the most ludicrous move in all. Even as a kid, I was like,
the best
this
is when
just
he pulls off the elbow guard and throws it. Oh, man. I think the most ludicrous move is actually the mandible claw with Mr. Socko.
I was just thinking that. Literally just thinking that with Mr. Sock. Mr. Socko.
Mr.
Or
Socko.
Yeah,
he's like, that disgusting sock out of his foot. Oh, my God. It's in his mouth. God only knows how many viruses and diseases are on that thing. Mr. Socko, no.
Oh, man.
That's the thing. Wrestling is still kind of like that. Like, wrestling is bad overall, but when wrestling is good, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
And they have the, in my opinion, the best theme, and they're real good. They're real good wrestlers too, but the best theme of a tag team currently right now, the Vaudevillains.
You were telling us about
they're
that.
They're fucking great. Like, they're totally, you know, spit curled hair. They like, one of them wears the, like, 1920s weightlifter outfit. And, you know, the other one's got, you know, kind of got the bathing suit going on, and they come out to, like, you know, fucking ragtime, like, it's absolutely absurd. Curled mustaches, of course.
Yeah,
they're great.
I like how we got so far off of the Ghostbusters wheels.
Whatever.
I was trying to think, where did they come from? Wheels.
Yeah, well, that was Extreme Ghostbusters, which is, I think, underrated. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I never really watched it. It was a little bit after my cartoon era.
Yeah,
I think at that time I was watching a lot more Adult Swim than anything.
Yeah, I liked Extreme Ghostbusters. I watched everything.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Aqua Teen. Now, there's a show that went from good to real bad. Real bad.
I never watched any of the later. It still made me laugh when I'd catch it every once in a while.
Well, they replay the first season for the earlier stuff. And then C-Lab.
C-Lab is fantastic. Well, I mean, Archer's.
What are you, making a necklace? That episode where he's fucking stuck under the vending machine. I think it might have been the single funniest episode of anything I've ever seen. I laughed my fucking ass off.
Well, the entire I like the one where they're trying to replace all of their body parts with robots. Yeah, buzzsaw hands.
Those things really did kind of pave the way for
a lot of
to stuff spreading out from Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Cuz obviously Adult Swim still has, the best of that stuff.
The Time Paradox episode where he's like, "What time is it?" It's dodgeball time. It's like, no, really, what time is it? It's dodgeball time, bitch. But anyway.
And Queen Doppelpopolis. I use that all the time. Yeah. You're a doppelganger sent here by Queen Doppelpopolis. I still use that.
All right. So, Games Plus Auction is this weekend. Steve has opted not to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm going to spend money on stuff I don't need.
Yeah, basically.
That's the whole point, is to spend money.
I know, but I just want to...
That's all right. I'm taking Pat B is going to be my co-pilot on this auction. I'm not sure when this is going to go up. So if you're listening, I might put it up before I leave tomorrow. So if you're listening to this right when it comes out, so around like probably 10, 11 Central America, Central Standard Time, daylight savings tonight. It's either tonight or tomorrow.
Spring forward, fall back.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it is not yet.
Well, it's this weekend. Either tonight or tomorrow night. I don't remember. I'm living in no sleep world anyway. But I'm a 10, 11 central time. I'm probably doing some live streaming on the phone.
Ooh.
just to do some stuff. I might do it today, too, because I'm going to go there after this just to kind of check
What's
on
the auction today? Is it RPGs?
RPG, sci-fi, fantasy stuff.
Okay, cool.
And that's why I don't know if Ghostbusters is going to be there today or if it was at Family Board Game
Night.
With the
board games, yeah.
I'm kind of thinking it might have been Family Board Game Night, but...
Maybe.
Yeah, I can't go to Family Board Game Night. There's too many, resellers for my taste.
Oh, is that what they're just... They're hunting.
They're real bad with that. It used to be that the Historicals Night was the bad one for resellers because they would go get, stuff like Panzer Leader or, like MacArthur's War. And they would try and resell it on eBay for massive amounts of money.
Sure.
Those Avalon Hill... Bradley bookcase games. Stuff. You ever play those games?
No.
I have one or two of them that I've just randomly picked up over year, at a garage sale or something like that.
I don't think they're very good. I mean, I played Axis and Allies, and that's kind of the,
Now this is way weirder than I think it kind of plays like Ogre a little bit, but no, Ogre plays fine. You ever played Ogre?
Ogre was ludicrous. You had to take parts off of the there was damage tables for 27 parts of the ogre.
Yeah, but that's because you were only playing the ogre. Everyone else played something different.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so you weren't necessarily... I mean, so that was all you had to do. It was not a big deal.
Mm.
But it's got the little cardboard chits that you move across the map. It's here goes the Luftwaffe.
Meow. Airplane noises. Pew, 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 pew.
And you're playing on this giant hex map.
I'm move my U-boats.
Yeah, exactly. The hex map of the Baltic Sea, moving your U-boats around. It's what the hell am I doing with my life?
Deeply regretting it.
I could see being
I see just having an existential breakdown doing my parents didn't ask me if I wanted to be born, and now I'm sitting here playing a fucking game. I'm moving little chits around an X map. What have I done with my life? What have I done with reality? What is the world?
Well, my thing is I don't think I make enough money to have the lifestyle that would require me to play. In my head, I think I should have a smoking jacket.
I don't think it's about how much money you make. I think it's the fact that you're not retired.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like
towards your pipe.
Yeah, to play this game, I need a smoking jacket, a pipe, and house slippers on. Well, my friend is sitting across from the table from me.
Cognac.
Yeah, with a cognac, and you're just huh, yes. The 1st Forward Panzer Division is going to move to here.
Think you could take Africa? You're not smarter than Rommel.
Sitting in front of a big fireplace, an epically huge...
Yeah, with several stuffed bears.
Yeah, with several stuffed bears around.
Yeah.
By the way, it's funny that you bring that up. So I was on Craigslist the other day.
Someone's selling a stuffed bear?
Oh, yes. There's a guy that's not too far from here who's selling a massive, like, taxidermied collection. Like, bears, tigers, lions, like, massive amounts of stuff. And there's a big moose head that I want to buy, like, so unbelievably badly. But my wife is like, you are not buying that moose head. I'm like, it'd be so great in our house. And she's like, no, that thing is, first of all, I don't want any dead animals in our house. Secondly, that thing is gigantic. Like, I'm like, I know.
Yeah, I never got the taxidermy thing. It's kind kind of weird.
I do. I only like, I don't like it, like, in terms of, like, I shot this animal. This is a symbol of my prowess as a man. I like it more of, like, oh, this thing's just really creepy.
Yeah, I
like it in the creepy sense.
I think I like the artistry of it. Like, I love the taxidermy animals at the Field Museum. Like, that's great. You know, I think it's a really cool way to get a really close look at an animal without, you know, being killed.
Yeah.
But, like, the in-your-house thing, I never really, really got it. It's kind of weird.
There used to be a show on, I don't remember what channel it was on, but it was called Oddities. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, great. I loved that show.
Yeah.
They had all sorts of weird shit.
I like that kind of stuff. Like, I have a cabinet in my house that's just got, like, weird shit I found at.
Well, I mean, having a weird, like a curio cabinet
that's full
of actual curios is a different story than having, like, a stuffed bear and a lion and, like, 16 different things around your house.
If I had, like, a huge-ass house, though, I think I'd want a stuffed bear.
I mean, a lot of those people do that themselves, though. There's different levels, and you can't just generalize, but someone who does the taxidermy themselves, I could see that, because that's, like,
Their hobby.
Like, it's putting your minis on display. Like, no, it's like, did you shoot that bear? It's like, no. Did you taxidermy it? Yeah. I totally did. Check it out. Look what I did for the eyes. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I get that, you know, the hobby part of it. It's just that, just kind of odd to me. Just like,
yeah, I mean, like, it's like, I'm totally against, like, killing, like, I'm totally against killing animals, because it's like, no, hunting is fine. I don't have any problems with it. But I mean, myself, I couldn't see myself shooting a bear. But if someone shot the bear and they have, like, a bearskin rug, kind of want a bearskin rug. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a hypocrite. I know it. I'm fine with this. I've come to this realization about myself.
Hey,
I'd like a bearskin rug.
My long and short is, if you eat it, I'm down.
Yeah, I've eaten bear,
like,
before.
If you eat it, if you kill it and you eat it, that is fine.
Bear chili.
But if you waste it, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
So that's where I stand on that. You know, the trophy hunting, like, hunting it for literally just the trophy is ridiculous.
I think,
like,
Teddy Roosevelt would have to say some bully to you.
He would.
He'd box your ears.
He really would. He would take me out. I need to conserve this nature so I can shoot it later.
All you'd have to do is outrun Teddy Roosevelt, because he had asthma. So
yeah, I'm fairly soon to be easy. But hey, remember, he was a huge conservationist, because he wanted to make sure there was nature always there for him to shoot.
Yes.
I was actually just talking about old presidents. Someone asked me who my favorite president was.
And you were like, Andrew Jackson, because he was awful.
No, my favorite president was Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Dwight D. Eisenhower?
Eisenhower was my favorite president.
Dwight David Eisenhower, whose name was actually David Dwight Eisenhower, but he switched it for some odd reason.
didn't want to have David, I don't know.
It's just a weird, I went to Dwight D. Eisenhower High School in Blue Island, so that's, I tend to know a little bit about Eisenhower as a president.
It's good, he was a good president.
he wasn't a good president, he just played golf all the time.
That is not accurate. That is the initial perception that he had, that they painted after JFK was elected as a 26 year younger president, and
it's called a joke, Steve.
I didn't appreciate it.
I can tell. You love your...
Not about the presidents.
No.
Except for George W. Bush. You can make as much fun of him as you want.
What about H.W. Bush?
I don't know.
What about Reagan? Can I make fun of Reagan?
Yeah, you could definitely make fun of Reagan. What? Mr. Gorbachev, what's going on this wall?
Reagan smash!
I am zombie Reagan, and I'm here to take America back.
Oh,
yeah, I'm Reagan. You can make fun of.
No, I don't. I think I would have to say William McKinley is my favorite president, because Queen Victoria called him the handsomest man she's ever seen.
I was gonna say, is that because almost no one knows anything about McKinley?
He was shot.
There is McKinley Mac. That's a thing. So the McKinley Mac, in case anyone is wondering, this is a McDonald's special item. Most probably won't know it as the McKinley Mac anymore, unless maybe you're somewhere near Mount McKinley. But the McKinley Mac is a Big Mac sandwich where you replace the normal patties on the Big Mac with quarter pounder patties.
Wow.
You can get yourself a gigantic Big Mac.
That sounds delicious.
It's
actually.
Really good. Yeah. It's the McKinley Mac.
I was hoping you were going to say, it's when you take a Big Mac and you replace the patty with a full double cheeseburger. Not the patties, the whole sandwich.
Yeah. There's a McChicken fuck. That's a similar thing to that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of when you were talking about.
And my other McDonald's quote unquote hack for you is get yourself a McFlurry and have them put a pie in it.
Just be I've heard that.
Mix the pie in it. I had one with the apple pie. Fucking sinful. I'm like, I'm going to hell. I was eating it. I was like, I'm going straight to hell.
What do they call it? How broke are you? McDonald's ice cream machine broke. That's how broke I am. No, you just say McDonald's ice cream machine. And they're like, oh, that's pretty broke.
That's really broken.
That's another thing for our foreign listeners is that if you go to any McDonald's in a metropolitan city, the ice cream machine will always be broke.
Yeah, it just is.
And it's disgusting, by the way. All right. So, so auction minis wise, you just want me to look out for loader stuff. You sent me like a list of stuff.
Yeah. That narrow list of things.
Yeah. What do you want? What's the guy's name? Kamul the Easterling?
I need Kamul the Easterling.
Oh, he's
sold his service to the Dark Lord Sauron. Some say.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, that was the best. I remember.
Classic bit.
Yeah, we were back in the day at the bunker we used to work at. They used to put ads in the bathroom, so for new stuff coming out, like from the White Dwarf.
So Steve, who would take his 20-minute bathroom breaks, would sit there and memorize the entire ad.
You gotta poop.
Well, and this is also in the woman's bathroom, which we called the employee bathroom.
Oh,
because
yes.
No women would go in.
Oh,
it.
That was the best. Yeah, there was. It was just empty, pristine. There were none of those flies. No one shitting on the actual floor. Yeah, we had a floor shitter at the. And then I also stepped in bum shit.
at the bunker. Are we on bunker poop talk? Because I have a great bumper poop story.
I think so. As long as you don't incriminate yourself or others.
Oh no, it was. One of the first few weeks I was working there, I don't know if I've ever told the story on the podcast.
Oh, I think I know this story.
Yeah, because you weren't working at the store yet.
I was there, but I think I know this story.
The bunker had just opened, and it was me and Dave were working a trade show. Like, so all of like the independent retailers from Chicagoland region came into the bunker, and they were giving like a presentation. And about two-thirds of the way through the presentation, this guy comes out, and I'm not going to say his name because he's still around in the Chicagoland area. And he's just an awful person.
He knows who he is.
He knows who he is. Comes out and is like, I wish I could do his voice. I wish I could do his voice on here. Because if I did his voice, everyone would know who it is. But I'm not. He goes, guys, I think there's a problem with your plumbing. The entire plumbing just exploded out of the drain. Just gallons of fecal material everywhere. And me and Dave, and like, this is one of those things where it's like, I'm just like a red shirt at this time. And Dave looks at me, and I'm like, I'm not doing this alone. I said, I'll quit. I go, me and you are doing this together. And so we went and we got every bleach bottle we had, and we just poured it onto the floor. Just poured it onto the floor and, like, tried to get it all mopped up. It was the most disgusting experience of my life, and I'll never forget it to this day. Yep. I mean, and, like, we were single-handedly, like, this guy, let's just call him Adam. Adam did this. Adam blocked up the toilet and he caused this problem. It had nothing to do with it. It was just bad plumbing.
Yeah.
But it was all his fault from then on. I think the general manager at the time looked at me and said, I've never seen you look this white. You look as white as a ghost right now. And I we had shirts. It looked like hazmat. It looked like we were in the trenches in World War I.
Fucking mustard gas.
Yeah, it was like mustard gas. That's not fair to people who survived World War I, but still.
I don't think anyone who survived World War I is still alive.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think. I think
it's over 100 years ago.
Yeah, World War II, they're just about gone. But World War I, pretty sure that they checked out a while ago.
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, you'd have to have been born in, like, 1900 to have fought in World War I at the latest. So, yeah,
pretty sure there's no one who's 116.
Yeah, I'm just, well, there might be, but they just barely remember World War I. Yeah.
That's still going on, right? Who won?
Well, I was just talking with someone about that. It's like, it's weird to think that in World War I was 100 years after Napoleon. And we're right now 100 years after World War One. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty ridiculous to think about.
Yeah. That time is weird. When you stop and think about time, it's very strange. Like, yeah. And like your great grandparents, you are great grandparents, could have like owned a slave.
Mine couldn't.
Mine didn't, because mine are from, you know, yeah. overseas. But
yours are playing the balaclava like in Greece. Oh no, the Turks!
And they're, you know, talking about Zeus.
Yeah. Your great grandparents were just like pressing olives all day long.
Nice.
Mine were running from Cossacks, but
it's getting sacked by Cossacks.
Pretty much. Not really. Mine are from northern Poland, so they were just like, we're gonna eat salted fish and look for amber on the beach.
Ooh, jellyfish. My dad's brother, he's had like three wives, all Polish.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of like heavily Polish relatives from that. And
they're the worst.
His current wife, God, she brought this food to Christmas, and it was fucking like halibut.
Wait, in the white sauce?
In Jell-O.
Oh, that's great.
It was I was just like, what fresh hell is this? They're just chowing down on this, and I'm just like, oh my God.
Let me see.
It looked so absolutely gross.
Let me see if this is what it is. I'm gonna show you a picture.
Okay, I'll tell you. It might be their recipe of what you're gonna show me.
Did it kind of look like that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
It's herring and sour cream.
Oh, okay.
It's
fucking
delicious.
Wasn't that? No, it was in a Jell-O mold.
Oh, like a Jell-O. Like, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's all right.
It was like, ooh.
Let me just tell you this. Like, those disgusting Polish recipes, I still like them. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to go as far as saying, like, lutefisk.
I like Yugoslavian stuff. That's from my other side. I'm the muddiest.
What is Yugoslav?
I'm the muddiest mutt.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Me? The muddiest mutt?
No.
Oh, Yugoslavia. Yeah. Yugoslavia. It's gone.
It only really existed for like 50 years anyway. So.
Yeah. They're Serbian. Yeah. Yeah, they're Serbian.
Dirty Serbs.
And they had at what the hell was it? Slava. Is like it's like a big thing, big holiday before Christmas or like around Christmas time. And that's where I get to have the weird food. I had there was this stuff called Zhito that was like a kind of oatmeal looking thing with a cross in it. It was really sweet. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was great. It tasted so good. And there's like weird little cookies and then ćevapčići cheese. There's these little sausages. And I was actually talking to my boss yesterday about how funny it is that I feel that my parents, because they were not like the super foreign group of my family from anywhere, like my parents were very Americanized, although my mom is a dual citizen of France and the United States, which unfortunately for me, if I would have taken advantage of that, I could be a French citizen, and if I held dual citizenship, I would have free medical care.
Yes, we've gone over this numerous times on the podcast
because it still irks me. But the so like I feel kind of like slighted that they never got me into a second language, because I was just reflecting like back on, you know, I'm at Slava, and there's like some of my relatives would come and talk to me, and they'd just speak to me in Serbian, and I don't fucking speak a word of it. I'm just like,
let me just tell you this: the Slavic languages, not fun to learn.
I assume they wouldn't be, but I mean,
I tried.
They all know like everyone in the room would know like three fucking languages.
Well, I would,
and then Greek. Greek's also not fun.
Yeah, Greek is better than most Slavic languages, but I tried to learn Polish. Like my grandma tried to teach it to me. I'm just like, this language is stupid. It makes no sense. I go, you could go learn, I could learn Spanish far easier than I could learn Polish.
Well, yeah.
And I am Polish, and I'm talking to a Polish person right now who's speaking Polish to me, and I can't understand a damn word you're saying because none of the words make any grammatical sense.
Well, yeah, it's because Spanish is closer to English.
No, it's not. It's Romance language. It's not like English.
It's closer to English.
No, it's not like English at all. If you're German is more like English than anything. No, Romance languages are a completely different system.
Spanish and French, they're super similar.
Well, Spanish and French, yes, but not English.
I mean, when you get into the complexities, no, but basic, yes.
No, it's they run off
my family, mi familia. like it's the same shit. They don't change the order of things.
No, I mean, but most languages are like that. But I'm just saying, in terms of like the rules of a language, this Polish throws it out the window.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I don't know the rules of any other language other than English.
Yeah, that, I mean, you know,
I know a little bit of the Japanese rules, which is like a kind of a structured like backwards. Like yeah. All of the action happens in the sentence first, and then you say what is the action. Yeah. So it's like, if I was talking to you, it'd be like, give to me the sandwich, Joe. That's yeah. how their language is structured. It's like back. Yeah. It's not exactly backwards, but it's a different order of things.
I just find it funny that Klingon is easier to learn than Polish.
I was actually going to ask you if Klingon is easier to pick up than Polish.
Oh, it's far easier. I mean, it's a weird, but it's because it's made up. So it's yeah. like the structures, the rules for it are much more strict than like English because.
Patak.
So let's get into some. Let's talk a little. Just a little. We're almost getting towards the end. So let's just hit up some more gaming.
We
stuff.
We didn't talk about any games.
Yeah. Oh, we talked about some gaming stuff. I'm not gonna lie about it. So we talked about Siege of the Citadel last time.
That's true.
Podcast.
We did.
Fantasy Flight's gonna be distributing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. I was looking at the they're co-publishing it. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, distributing it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean
that gives me that's more excitement for that because I mean that's more. Eyes on the prize, as it were, or more, you know, getting that'll get it into actual game stores and
yeah.
get it moved.
And I would hope that would, because it's like a board game, dude, put that in a like Target shelf. Oh, get some kids in. Because didn't they used to like see the original Siege of the Citadel? Wasn't that ever sold in like Toys R Us and stuff like
I don't
that?
I think so.
Because I remember
HeroQuest was, but HeroQuest and Battlemasters.
Yeah, I was
were,
gonna say Battlemasters was Milton Bradley.
Yeah, because Milton Bradley. That's yeah. why. Because Milton Bradley had exclusive contracts with Toys R Us and all those.
Yeah, but Target
places.
Sells all the Fantasy Flight
well,
stuff
yeah,
now.
Target. They'll be in Target. I mean, yeah. If they're selling Fantasy Flight, they'll be in Target. You know, Target's got everything. They've moved on. They're trying to crush the board game market right now. They've got a whole shit ton of exclusive Target games.
I know, but they're all terrible. They're just skins of games. It's like,
it's
oh, it's the Target exclusive.
It doesn't matter.
Game of Thrones, Settlers of Catan. Actually, I'd play that. But besides...
Game of Thrones, Munchkin.
Oh, no.
There you go.
No. Because everyone would just be choice. Tyrion, because he's the only Munchkin in that movie, in that show. So...
Representing the Lollipop Guild.
Oh, so yeah, that's actually pretty.
He stole my giant lolly and broke it over his knee.
What else? I had some other stuff that I was talking about to see. Oh yeah, that Star Wars Destiny dice game.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they keep making dice games? Do people actually play them?
I mean, Dice Masters was a fucking huge hit, and had they been able to capitalize and actually produce the game to the levels that people wanted, Dice Masters would be a gigantic game right now. But the sieve like precision they were dropping product out like little nuggets at a time killed the game. Just availability killed it. Like people were, you know, people got bored. That's the thing.
Are you talking like the Dice Masters?
Marvel Dice Masters.
Okay, Marvel. I was yeah. going to say, are you talking about the Marvel
yeah,
game?
Yeah, Marvel Dice Masters was huge. People couldn't get, like, people were scrambling trying to get that product. The price got super inflated. Everyone wanted it. But they couldn't get They didn't produce enough. I don't want to say couldn't because I don't know, but they did not produce enough. They did not meet demand and the game died. There's a fine line. Between, and this is a hard thing to walk as a manufacturer of games, is you need to hit it's collectible specifically.
Yeah.
If it's a non-collectible game, you need to print as many as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Like that's as simple as that. But for collectible games, you need to be at a very specific manufacturing level. Mm-hmm. Because if you manufacture too much, you devalue your game and you get Force of Will, which the secondary market for Force of Will is garbage. The cards are worth nothing. So, because as a player...
You're worth nothing!
They're not. As a player, you can go and buy two booster boxes and get a complete set for that set. There's no reason to buy singles. So, like, because it's overproduced, it's easy to acquire. So, Force of Will has no value. So, that's really bad. It's one of the factors that's killing the game. Because that exists, you know, you have that. And then you have the opposite end where you're Dice Masters and you don't produce any of the product and people just move on to the next thing. It's like, I guess I'm not going to play this game after all because I can't even get a fucking booster pack. So you have to hit that middle ground. That Magic does pretty well. They do a pretty good job of having the right amount of scarcity.
You should create like a how to, like a tier level list for like, oh, hello. My name is Steve. I see, like Clippy. Like, I see you're trying to create
a collectible game.
It's like, how many people are you hoping to reach? Like, this is the first level that you should do for collectability. If you reach this level and people want more, go to this level. And this is the amount you need to produce for the second tier.
You know? And that's the thing. And you look at, like, the Fancy Flight LCGs. They're a non-collectible version.
You look like you're trying to do magic level. Stop and go back a couple.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. You're not magic.
LCGs have that model of... you know, they're not a collectible game, but they're produced in, you know, like booster packs, basically. They're just non-random. The problem with LCGs, that now you fall into the different issue. LCGs have the barrier to entry because even with their rotation, because they're starting to rotate product out, I'll use Netrunner's example because that's the one that's the longest running of the current LCGs, because Game of Thrones was reset with second edition before anyone tries to say otherwise.
I don't think anyone's trying to say otherwise. No.
I mean, someone might have tried to glasses push correct me on that one. Cause,
finger up, glasses pushed.
Yeah. Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah, one moment, please. The sets rotate every 4 years. They're gonna be pushing out blocks at a time. The problem is that still leaves, if it's 4 years, every month has a set or every month has a release. So that's 12, 12, 12, 12 for those who are counting, plus any of the special sets. They're, you know, those bigger boxes that may or may not count in those that number of releases. So if you want to be competitive at the game and you're starting now, you need to buy all of that. That's a fuck ton of money.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That's a huge amount of money. And there's no way to, like, I mean, there is. They don't want to do it. But the way to stop that, the way to fix it is to rotate faster.
Yeah.
Basically, you need to rotate faster or reduce your release schedule. One of the two. I think their model's great. It's never going to be big, though, because it doesn't have... Again, the thing that pushes Magic and other card games, Pokemon, Yugi, all of the card games that exist with collectability, the thing that pushes them is the singles market, because that's what they're there for. That's why you need that scarcity. So if you force a will it, never... You know, the LCGs are kind of the same way. Like, there's no... You can't look at your purchases as an investment other than just to play the game, which is fine, but you're never going to buy more than one.
Well, you could also look at it, though, as an investment if, you like, let's say Fantasy Flight announces... I don't know, Star Trek, the collectible card game, right? The LCG.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that as an investment and you buy all of the packs starting from the beginning,
you could sell that
as to someone who's looking to get into it is like, hey, here's everything all at once. And
you could
inflate the price a little bit so that you can get, you know, some money back so the person doesn't have to constantly seek out all these packs. And especially if packs go out of print or something like that.
It takes a while. Yeah. But I believe, I believe with the new rotating schedule, they are not going to do any, nothing's going to fall out of print until it rotates.
Until it rotates.
Yeah, I think that's a new thing.
But even still, it's like, it's a way of doing it. So anyway, what else do I, what's the Forge World you got over there, by the way? I noticed that.
Oh, Plague Toads.
Plague Toads?
Yeah.
You ordered Plague Toads.
The Nurgle Plague Toads.
Did you order those with the new fall of the Brexit?
Thanks, Britons. Your pound is crashing. I am sorry for your savings, but I am getting cheap models.
Let me see what it's currently at right now.
It was 1.24 when I last saw.
Yeah, that's what it is right now. Let me see if the market's closed right now. Looks like it's stabilized a bit. It was down to like 121. Just the other day, so...
It is plummeting faster than you can grab it right in the pussy.
A presidential candidate for the United States said that at one point. Said that. Yeah. And not like behind the microphone, like when George W. Bush called someone like an asshole. Like he said that under his breath while there was a live mic and everyone was like...
Hot mic, yeah.
Hot mic. No, he said that willingly to another person during an interview.
Yep.
And we're just supposed to just be like, whatever. It's just guy talk.
He's just trumping, bruh.
He's just trumping. You know what? Yeah. You know what?
He just tells it like it is. He just speaks his mind.
Yeah.
What do you do? You don't like people who speak their mind?
No.
I guess you're the real racist.
It's true.
That's my favorite. My favorite thing now is the super hardcore racist people who are like, well, I guess you're actually the racist. It's like, no. Still you.
I can't believe that. I mean, like, I just just blows my mind. And then it's like they throw it onto like, oh, Bill Clinton. No, we're not talking about that now.
No.
No, this is the guy who's running for president.
Yeah, Bill Clinton not running for president right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Clinton may or may not be a piece of shit. Don't know. But not running for president right now.
Not running for president right now. God. Yeah. God damn
it. How about
that? What did we do? What did we do as a civilization, Steve? Oh, that's what we did.
We did all those things.
Oh, we did all those things. All those terrible, terrible things. Oh, the 1950s South. Oh, terrible things.
Yeah.
Oh, the Native Americans. Oh, we did that too, didn't we?
And then, you know, we sold the country to banks and
We did all that.
Corporations.
Oh, we screwed up, Steve. We screwed up big.
I mean, we didn't. Our parents did. Our parents' parents did.
But at least we didn't Brexit.
Well, we still have the opportunity.
Well, actually, we did Brexit in 1776.
We have the opportunity to have this will be let, like, if Trump wins now, that is going to be the most ridiculous shit ever. Like,
yeah,
there can't be a way at this point. Like, there cannot be a path to victory at this point. I know there's the mindless, like, zombos are just going to, like, jam the Trump button because they're just like, well, the media is spinning it. They're making it up. But, like, the odds are so low. Like,
yeah. Let me see.
It's got to be almost nothing at this point.
Let me see what our good friend Nate Silver is saying right
and
now.
And his projections won't even really have the full brunt of this. this projection, whatever you're going to say, will not have the full brunt of what happened yesterday until, like, Monday or Tuesday.
Monday, when they start doing, like, the end of the next polls.
Yeah.
Clinton, 81.4%.
Yeah, that is a...
But still, she's only beating him by five percentage points. So, I don't know.
It's still a percentage chance to win.
Like. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's only 5%. That's not. I don't know. I can't. This, like, my head hurts. Like, I go to work and I hear people talking, and I'm just like, I can't. My head hurts too much to think about this. Like, I used to be a real political person, Steve. I used to be like a big, like, go out in the streets and protest type guy. Not anymore. I'm too old for this. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
It's just a waste of time.
I'm going to be out on the streets protesting on Tuesday. But besides that point, I'm going on strike,
that's,
Steve.
That's because you and your people are a bunch of lazy layabouts.
According to our
more free money.
According to our governor, who I am, of course, and the mayor and Trump supporters.
Well, hey, if it's the mayor and the governor, that means you got both sides telling you you're lazy.
I know.
Which is good.
Yeah,
that bipartisan unity can come together to fuck you over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
Anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
Play on Steve.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. Steve will post half-naked anime chicks.
Aw, yeah.
I don't understand it myself, but whatevs.
Dude, that was the USS Iowa.
I know. I'm not a...
She's got guns of freedom.
Guns of freedom. Never found anime girls attractive, but you know what? People do.
She's Merkin, though.
She's Merkin. Now, she's got to be in a Walmart to be Merkin.
She could be.
She could be.
You never know. It was just... There was no background. It was just her.
Let me tell you this, guys. Those who are listening who are not in America, everything they say about Walmart's true. You go there, just every Walmart's exactly the same.
All hope goes to die.
Yeah. It's literally... When Dante enters hell, that's what it's like.
It is.
Yeah. Abandon all hope, ye who enter.
I think Walmart, that's what Walmart means, translated from the ancient Rylian.
Rylian?
Yeah. It's abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Oh, good times. Hey, you ever see the movie In the Mouth of Madness?
No, it's a great movie.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic film.
I remember watching it a long ass time ago.
Do you read Sutter Kane?
I don't... X!
Yeah, that was great.
I don't remember ever why. I caught it on TV the other day, and I was like, I really got to sit down and watch this. And apparently it's part of like a trilogy with The Thing. So it goes The Thing, In the Mouth of Madness, and Prince of Darkness form like John Carpenter's...
Lovecraftian
trilogy.
Okay.
So I might have to do that this Halloween, is like watch those three.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should do like a kind of like a Netflixy, not a Netflix, like a Mystery Science Theater thing where we kind of watch it and we just record our audio of it, of us talking about the movie.
I would probably just watch it, though.
I know, that's the problem. It's like, so
you have to do this for, that's the reason you do it with bad movies, is because you don't want to watch them, so you make fun of them. But good movies, just
this Island Earth is an amazing movie. That's the one they did for MST3K, the movie. This is the one with the guys with the big foreheads and
the Metal Luna Mutants?
Yes.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Sick. Yeah. That's
with Brack.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. But anyway, Go to Planet Arbitrator.
You did the thing.
Best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. Another way you could help out the podcast is to listen to us on the YouTubes. Give us some comments there. Rate us there.
Give us the shitty sweet reviews. I want 5 stars, and I want you berating us in the whole review.
That's exactly it. Let me see right now. I'll see if we got any new reviews. Let's check this out. All right, this is gonna be great for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So not that it really matters. Most people have turned us off at this point. There's the yawn I was waiting for. This cast,
gotta get one.
All right, Game Classy Podcast. All right.
I just want to go take a nap.
Yeah.
A super nap.
Ba, 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 ba. Podcasts. All right.
I'm surprised you don't have it bookmarked.
I don't. Ow, I can't pull it up. Anyway, that was a completely anticlimactic. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know us. We're all about the anticlimax. Womp, 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 womp,
womp. All right. I'll have to bring it up on some later ones so that way I can see if we have any new reviews. Anyway, so Steve, until next time.
See you.
Game Classy.